Hallelujah. There's going to be a sudden surprise attack coordinated by heaven that will send panic into the enemy camp. Our job now is to prepare for this through our intercessory prayer. Dear intercessors, this week I have a very important prayer topic to give to you. It is something that has been in my heart for a very long time, but it's not until now that I have felt the liberty to share it with the entire prayer movement in Nordic 714. And I have called this message the Gideon's 300 Men. I believe God is calling us to pray for an army of preachers, of revival preachers, like Gideon's 300 soldiers, that can drive the enemy away from the harvest fields in the Nordic countries and in other parts of the world. Wherever you live, you can apply this wherever you are to pray the same prayer for your nation or for your part of the world. I'm going to give you some points here that God has given me to that will characterize these bold evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers that God is going to raise up to drive away the enemy. And the first thing I'm going to read about Gideon is from the book of Judges, chapter 6, where it says about the angel of the Lord. We're going to begin to read here from verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." So we see the first thing here that characterized Gideon, or Gideon as it's called in Hebrew, was that he was absolutely nothing in himself. He said, "How can you use me? I am the from the, you know, it says here, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So he said, I'm nothing. How can you use me? Those are the instruments that God delights to use. And that's why he told Gideon, he said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." What a shock that must have been to Gideon. He was hiding from the enemy. He was afraid. He was trying to steal away some of the harvest before the Midianites came and took everything away. So but God saw Gideon's heart, and he knew what God could do through him when Gideon surrendered his life to him. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we have a list of conditions on people that God wants to use. From verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." So here we see the people that God is calling in this hour to be used as his mighty instruments, those who are nothing in themselves, just like Gideon was. When he said, "I'm from the weakest clan in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest in my father's house. How can you use me?" Well, those are the people that God is going to raise up in this hour to get all the glory to himself. Hallelujah. We are to pray for those. The second thing, we're going to go now to Judges chapter 7 and see the army of 300 that God called Gideon to raise up. And we're going to read here from verse 1. "Then Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give them to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." So this was the first selection that God did. He said to Gideon, 32,000 people obviously followed him when he tried to mobilize an army to defend the enemy, to defeat the enemy. And God told him, "No, you are too many." Even though the enemy was numerous as the sand on the seashore, without you could not count them. They were too many to count. And Gideon had 32,000. Well, you would think if they were really brave, and maybe if they had God's favor, they would be able to destroy the enemy. But God said, "No, I'm not going to do it in that way. I'm going to, I cannot choose those who are afraid." And then 22,000 left, two-thirds of the people, more than two-thirds of them, they went away. Because God said, "They are too many. They will think that they did it and not me." God wants to get the whole glory. So 10,000 remained. Who were they? Those who were not afraid. John Wesley said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing except sin and who wish nothing except God. And I don't care anything if they are priests or if they are lay people. Only those will be able to shake the gates of hell and establish the kingdom of God in the earth." Those are the ones that God is looking for, who are not afraid of anything. I want to read a very serious scripture from Luke chapter 9, where Yeshua Jesus is saying, let's see here in Luke chapter 9, and it says in verse 26, For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him, ashamed, or in other words, full of fear for what man will say, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. That is very serious. If you are ashamed, if we are fearful in this wicked and evil generation to stand up for what God says in his word, it says then Yeshua Jesus is going to be ashamed of us when he comes in his Father's glory. So that's the second thing. The first was that they are nothing in themselves. The second is that they are not afraid. The third is, now they were not of the opposite side either. They were not haughty and overconfident, vulnerable to the attacks from the enemy. But they stayed alert and awake. Let's read about this in Judges here now, chapter 7. From verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, you shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go home. Go everyone to his own home. What was this all about? Well, most of them, in fact, 9,700, they were just interested in satisfying their own needs. So they knelt down and put their heads into the water and began to drink. When they did that, they exposed themselves to attacks from the enemy. Their backs were completely exposed. But 300 of them, they were aware that the enemy was on the hills above the valley where the spring was. And so they stayed alert and they just took water. They could not get so much in their hands, but they were still not willing to risk themselves to be exposed to the enemy. So they took water into their hands while they still could look around and then drank like a water, like a dog drinks by lapping the water with their tongues from their hands. Those were the ones that God wanted to choose. And this tells us that we must not be afraid, but neither can we be just overconfident and haughty and things that like this is no problem. They were confident in themselves, the ones who bowed down and did not care about what the enemy was doing. Because our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood, and that's why we need to stay alert, stay strong, and be awake, and not be fooled by the enemy's what the enemy is doing. I read here from Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the clever devices of the devil. So this is what most of the men who were left were still exposing themselves to. They were overconfident and they did not care that they were exposing themselves to the enemy. People who are watching and being alert to be aware of what the enemy is doing and not playing into his clever schemes so that they can be defeated by the enemy. And that had to also mean that they had to practice some self-discipline, self-sacrifice, that it took longer for them to drink the water, but they were willing to do so in order to be alert towards the enemy. So that was the third thing. The fourth thing here, this is very exciting. We're going to read now from verse 9 in the story here. That same night the Lord said to him, that is Gideon, arise and go down against the camp, the enemy camp that is, for I have given it into your hand. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So this sign here that was given in this dream was a cake of barley bread that tumbled into the camp of the Midianites, and the entire tent was turned upside down, so that it fell and was turned upside down. Why? What is this all about? Well, according to the Jewish scholars, this battle took place during the time of Passover, right when they began to harvest the barley. And this cake of barley then is symbolic of the first fruits of the harvest that was to be sacrificed to the Lord. And we know from Leviticus 23 about the feasts of the Lord and what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, that this first cake, these first fruits of the harvest, is a symbol of the resurrection of the Yeshua, of Yeshua, Jesus. So this is a picture of the resurrection power of Messiah that will be the key to defeating the enemy. Let's read again from the book of Ephesians about this power, resurrection power. It says, Paul is praying here, Ephesians chapter 1, that he's praying that the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes, verse 18, Hina, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and now it comes, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the assembly, to the church, the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This resurrection power is what was the key to victory over the enemy. In other words, God is going to use people who have died to themselves so that the resurrection power of the Lord, of the Messiah, can be evident in their lives, because it's not going to happen through might or strength, but by the power of the Spirit. The resurrection power of Messiah in the lives of people who have died to themselves, to allow the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, to live with his power in their lives. Hallelujah. So that is the fourth thing we are to pray for. People who have died to their own ability, to their own strength, so that the resurrection power of the Lord can be working in their lives. The fifth thing, now go back to Judges chapter 7 here. We're going to read from verse, continue to read here. It says in verse 16, or let's read from verse 15. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And listen now. He put trumpets into the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So two things that that Gideon gave to all of his men. The first thing was that he gave them a trumpet, a shofar, that they were to sound at a certain moment. And the second thing was actually two things, a jar, a clay pot, and inside of that clay pot was a torch that would shine in the dark. But it was to be hidden until a special moment of the attack. So God is going to use those who are bold as trumpets to declare God's word when they preach. And that he's going to use those who will let the inner light of the glory of God shine through their lives. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 about the trumpets. This is what we're to pray for. Cry aloud. Verse 1 here. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Hallelujah. So people who are so bold to preach a message of repentance, to turn away from sin, they will have a voice like a trumpet that will be heard in all the land. Those are the messengers that God is going to use, that will be bold to just declare what God says. Bold witnesses. And they will have the fire of God in their spirit. These torches that were going to be seen when they broke the vessels, the clay jars. I want us to read about this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we are going to read here from verse 6 and 7. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua the Messiah," Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." So in order for the glory of God to come through in our lives, our own vessels need to break. Broken people with no confidence in the flesh, so that the glory of God can shine through their lives when they raise their voice like a trumpet to declare God to God's people their transgressions, so that they can turn away from their sin. These are the instruments that we are to pray for. 300 bold preachers in all of the Nordic countries and whatever country you are in who listens to this message. Hallelujah. Now, the sixth thing I want to mention here, we're going to read on in the story now in Judges 7 from verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. What is it that I want to point out here? It was at the darkest hour of the night that the attack against the enemy took place. And that's exactly what God is going to do also in the end times. When it is the darkest, that is when the light is going to break forth from those who are standing up to proclaim the word of the Lord. It says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Hallelujah. It is when it is the darkest that God is going to release this army of bold witnesses to preach like trumpets, and who will shine with the glory of God in the midst of the darkness, the spiritual darkness. The seventh thing here, we're going to read on now from in verse 20 here. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bethshitta towards Serera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabat. So, in other words, there came a very sudden attack, a simultaneous sudden attack. And that's what I believe God has been speaking to me over the past, actually, few years. That through our prayers, God is preparing a moment of sudden surprise attack against the enemy. And it is going to be coordinated not by man, but by heaven. So that when the first man stands up and blows his trumpet, and people are going to be shocked and say, who is this man? Then they're going to be surprised to see that there's a second, there's a third, and all of a sudden there are hundreds of people with the same message. And it is going to bring complete panic and chaos into the enemy camp. I believe that is what is going to happen as a result of our prayers. God is preparing vessels right now for his glory that are nothing in themselves, but they are not afraid for man. And they are going to have a crucified life where the resurrection power of Messiah is going to be at work in their lives. And they are going to raise their voices like trumpets, and suddenly they are going to break forth. So I encourage you to continue with us to pray for this mighty revival that God is going to send to bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. There's going to be a sudden surprise attack coordinated by heaven that will send panic into the enemy camp. Our job now is to prepare for this through our intercessory prayer, because God is going to use the prayers of his people to bring forth these people, these instruments that he is going to use to bring in the harvest. That's what Yeshua mentioned in Matthew 9 when he said the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Cry therefore to the Lord of the harvest to thrust out those who can go into workers into the harvest field. I spoke about that not too long ago. And I want to encourage you. God is about to release such mighty instruments in the pattern of Gideon's 300 in answer to our faithful, enduring prayer. Hallelujah. And the final thing we read there in verse 21 and 22, I will read it again. Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. That's the enemy army. They cried out and fled. When they blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade, and so on. What did these 300 do? They did not have to fight in their own strength at all. They only had to be obedient to sound forth the sound of the trumpet and to smash the jars of clay so that the light could be seen, so that the fire of God inside of them could be manifest, and then just stand faithfully in their place and let God do the rest. Let God do the work. We just have to be faithful and do whatever God commands. We are not going to be able to rout the enemy. God is going to do it, but we have to do our part to be faithful. These are the instruments that we are to pray for that God is going to raise up in these end times, in all of the Nordic countries and in every country where you pray. Hallelujah. And then I just will end with saying this, we read here in verse 23, and the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. So when these 300 men had done their job, then the entire population, so to speak, the entire army was mobilized to do the rest of the work as the enemy was fleeing. So this is what it is referring to also in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. These are the ones that we are to pray forth. 300 of them. Bold apostles. Bold prophets. Bold evangelists. Bold shepherds and teachers of the word of God. Hallelujah. And it says, verse 12, sorry, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Messiah. So these 300, they are to do their work so that the saints, all believers, can enter into their calling and become mature enough to do the work of the ministry to gather in the harvest. God is going to use ordinary people to bring in the harvest in their workplaces, in their schools, and wherever they are. An army is going to be raised up to bring in the harvest when these apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers have done their proper job. These are the 300 that we are to pray for so that the saints can be equipped for the ministry. So that is what I had on my heart for this week. And I'm going to end in prayer here. And before I do, let me just say that the prayer topics that we are asking everyone to unite in agreement, in prayer, we're listing them always every week in the description under this video that you're watching. So let's pray together that God's army is going to be raised up in these end times. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that answers prayer. And Father, we we pray that the anointing of intercessory prayer will increase in our lives to pray forth this army of bold preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds that can equip the saints for work of ministry and that can stand faithfully in their place to sound the word of the Lord like a trumpet. And Father, we believe that you have these, just like you had Gideon who was afraid, hiding from the enemy, but you are going to visit them in their loneliness, in their fear, in their defeats, and you're going to say to them, you mighty man and woman of valor, I'm going to use you to bring about a huge victory. Father, we pray that we will be enduring in prayer to faithfully cry out to you until you have released these mighty instruments of revival in these end times, not only in the Nordic countries, but all over the world. Thank you for your faithfulness. You are truly a God who answers prayer, who hears the cries of his people. Bless each and every intercessor. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you like this message, I would encourage you to click on the thumbs up. That way the message spreads faster on the internet. And also give a comment if you have been blessed by this message. God bless you. Shalom.